Well, I was guessing that I would clear this room out this morning. I really was. My name is Dirk Rees. I am not Pastor Darren. If you're hoping to hear Pastor Darren, I don't know what's wrong with you, but he'll be back next week. Lift his name up, right? Praise his name. There is no name greater than the name of Christ. I remember 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago now, it's beyond me. Time's flown. I stood right over here. And there isn't a spotlight, but I felt like there was a spotlight on me. I'm about 3 weeks into this walk with Christ. And Ms. Wendy says, hey, I was wondering if you would be a part of the Christmas program. Would you give a testimony? I said, that'd be awesome. I'd love to be part of the Christmas program. What's a testimony? And she says, well, you just kind of tell a little bit about, you know, who you were. And I thought that was a horrible idea. And then you tell a little bit about who you are now. What's different? What has Christ done in your life? And I remember struggling through that, 5, 10 minutes, I don't know how long I was up here, but I struggled through just to explain who I was and what Christ had done in my life, and now, 9 years later, I wish I would have stood right over here and said, Ms. Wendy asked me to give you a testimony. It's Jesus, and I wish I would have just sat down. That is my testimony. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that God's testimony is that he sent his son to die for us. That's God's testimony. I want my testimony to look as close to God's as possible. His testimony is Jesus. That's what I want my testimony to be. I wish that day I would have just said, Jesus, drop the mic, and sat back down and let them carry on with the program. I was telling the 5th and 6th graders this morning, this is difficult. This is stressful for a guy like me. It's hard to stand in front of a group of people that I admire and I've looked up to, that have helped me and been so influential in my walk with Christ. It's so much easier for me to share a scripture with someone at work or to encourage someone through God's word if they need it. Just one-on-one, that's a lot easier for me. I respect and admire so many of you. I love you. I serve you. If I've never served you, come find me. I would love to. My wife and I, my family, we've put ourselves in that position, and I don't take it lightly. I want to help. I want to serve, and that's what I feel I've been called to do. I guess I'm helping and serving Darren today. It's very important that I clear the air with this scripture, and I'm going to borrow it from Paul. He said it a long, long time ago, but I believe he said it just as much for this day as he did for the day he wrote to the church in Corinth. He says, when I came to you announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. It's important. I don't have a single answer for you. I don't have a single word to share with you today. But I know God does. I don't believe for a second that we come to church because it's Sunday and there's no other reason other than this is what we do today. I believe that God positions us perfectly where he wants us, when he wants us there. And it's not an accident. It's not a joke. It's nothing to be taken lightly. If you're sitting here today, there's a reason and you need to wake up and listen. Not to me, but to God. He's got a message for all of us. There's no one in this room that does not need to be closer to the Lord right now. Right. Every one of us. So he has something for us. There's a reason we're here. There's a reason. I want to talk. I asked Pastor if it was okay. Can I continue on with this pursuing of God? Can I continue on with that? He's been doing a fantastic job of beating me up week after week. And what he talked about last week in faith goes right along with what I know God has been trying to work with me in my life, and that is obedience. We would have never heard or known anything about the gentlemen that we talked, or not all gentlemen, the people in Hebrews chapter 11 last week and their faith. We would have never even heard of them if they hadn't done something with their faith. If they hadn't have been obedient and worked out their salvation, their faith, for God's glory, we would have never heard about them. Obedience. Pursuing God through obedience. 3 weeks ago, pastor calls out the guys, questions my leadership skills to my family and my wife. How dare him? Obedience. My kids don't need another buddy or you know, they need a leader. They want someone to show them what it means to follow Christ. My leadership skills were questioned through God's word, and they're questioned every day. And that's okay with me. I grow every day as well. 2 weeks ago, he calls out the ladies, which I was downstairs for, but what I understand basically turned into calling out the guys again. Which, that's okay. That's the way it should be. Fellas, I believe we're held to a different standard. No offense to the ladies, I believe that we are held to a completely different standard in God's eyes. We are called to be leaders. We are called, I mean, we're going to talk later about our ministry and our calling. What does it look like? If you are a man in this room, you are called to be a leader. And if you're not leading, we'll deal with that in a little bit. Hi, Paisley. See what's the wrong way. Three of the main objectives for Melissa and I, we teach 5th and 6th grade Bible study. We want to educate, equip, and encourage our kids to apply this word to their life. So that's what I'm hoping to do today. I also want to challenge everybody in this room today. I want to challenge everyone here to listen to God, and more than that, do what he's telling you to do, okay? There are three... Oh, that's okay. We're going to talk to you later. That's okay. No, it really is coming. I want to challenge everybody. There are three characters. Now, you decide, between you and God, you decide who you are in this story. And this is a story of the salvation boat, okay? Picture this ginormous, great, huge ship, and we're going to call it the salvation ship. Now, there are plenty of people. I hope everyone in this room is sailing on that ship. But chances are, most likely, there is someone in here that has never received or accepted or understood what it meant to get in that boat. They don't understand that it's Jesus is the one that brings us into the boat, okay? Chances are, I am speaking to someone right now, okay, that is outside the boat. The waves they're tall, they're crashing, they're chaotic. Chances are, right now, I am speaking to someone. I don't know who you are, but you do. So listen up. The waves will ultimately overcome you, okay? You will drown. Right now, you're gasping for air. You're trying to figure out, how do I get out of this situation that I've found myself in, or I've even put myself in? There will come a time that these waves will overcome you. You will die, I promise. It will take you over. You cannot run from them. You will ultimately swim until you get tired and die unless you understand what it means to get in this boat. Those that are in the boat, we've accepted this salvation, this gift from God through his son, Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice and his blood. We understand that we can be saved. That's good. It's a good thing. Understanding that the people in the boat are safe. We're safe from the penalty of hell. We're safe from the penalty of our sins. Through his blood, okay, we can call ourselves redeemed. Okay? Problem with that is, too many times we get fat and happy in the boat, and this is a comfortable place, and I know I'm good here. There's no worries. There's nothing but hope when you're in the boat. There's nothing but hope. You have so much to look forward to, so we sit, and we just kind of are along for the ride. I hesitate to put myself in that category. That's maybe who I am in this story. So we've got those who are outside the boat, we've got those who are inside the boat, and then the ones that I want to speak to last are the ones that are willing to jump out of the boat and help someone get to the boat, okay? Sacrifice and suffering for God is a blessing. It's a blessing. We should not sit idly by. That is not what we are called to do. When you've accepted this salvation, if you've accepted this gift from God through his son, Jesus Christ, don't sit on it. It's not yours. It's his. Put it to work. Do something with it. Do something with it. So you're either in this room and you're in the water, you're in the boat, or you are willing to or already have jumped out of the boat to help someone else. Okay? All of these characters are represented today, which brings me to what I would like to preach about for the rest of my remaining time, however long that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll just, for those of you who want to put a finger in them. We're going to be in three different places, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to finish off with 2 Peter verses chapter 1, verses 3 through 15. Steve mentioned it, how you it's not that you accept Christ and everything turns good, everything becomes easy. On the contrary, we have a ministry to fulfill. We have a calling in all of our lives. It's given to us from God. Paul had a ministry in his life. Let's just read. Let's take a look at what Paul's ministry looked like. And you tell me if your ministry looks anything like this, okay? First of all, I'll start in chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm going to speak to those that are drowning. Okay, so listen up. If you think that maybe that's you, you're in the water, you've never been in the boat, don't know how to get there, just listen for a minute. Paul says, working together with him, that's God, we also appeal to you. Don't receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Paul says, and I say to you now, look, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. You do not have tomorrow.
That's right.
Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. It's as simple as calling out to him. Anyone who's ever called out to Christ for help has never had him turn their back on them. It's never happened. We give no opportunity for stumbling to anyone. Take this ministry seriously, okay? We don't want the ministry to be blamed. Verse 4, but in everything, as God's ministers, we commend ourselves. Okay, here's the characteristics of Paul's ministry. A great example for us is Paul. By great endurance, by afflictions, by hardship, by pressures, by beatings, by imprisonments, by riots, by labors, by sleepless nights, by times of hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the message of truth, by the power of God, through weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, through slander and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet recognized, as dying and look, we still live, as being chastened yet not killed, as grieving yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, and I love this, as having nothing but possessing everything. What does our ministry look like? Does it look anything like Paul's ministry? I was telling Seth this morning, he asked me how I was feeling, and I said, you have no idea. I said, you feel like you have everything that you could possibly need to get through a situation. Everything I'll ever need is in Christ Jesus, and I can do it. But I still feel like I hope I've got everything I need. My ministry should resemble that of Paul's, at least a little bit. And this is what I mean. Am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to give everything up? I struggle with the fact that I don't believe I've ever given 100% of myself to anything. That's hard for me to say because my wife's sitting right back there. Have I given her everything that I can? No. Have I given God 100% of who I am? No. I haven't. I always feel like there's more I could do. I always feel like I could have worked harder, done more, stayed longer. Okay? I always feel like there's something else that I could have. There's always more. And the only reason I know that is because I'm standing here right now and I'm breathing, I'm kicking, my heart's beating. There's more for me to do. So I've not exhausted myself. And I can honestly say that. I can also say that I'm not a whiner. I'm a worker. I want to get better. My six-year-old daughter hears it every morning. I know, Daddy, we're not whiners. We're workers. She's six. That's important. God's not looking for whiners. He doesn't want the excuses. No more excuses. My six-year-old daughter understands that when things get hard, that's good because that means we get to work harder, grow from it. We get to practice more. It's a good thing. She's six. I, on the other hand, and I almost said something bad. I, on the other hand, will complain, grumble, moan, whine, whatever, right? God's not looking for whiners. He's looking for workers. Paul was a worker. His life was hard at best, difficult. On his best days, it was difficult for him. But he was sold out to his ministry. So what is your calling? What is your calling? If you're a husband, that's a calling. That's what your ministry is, okay? If you're a dad, that's your ministry. I guess our calling as Christians, share the gospel. We are called to share God's love, God's word, God's son with everyone, anyone that we come in contact with. Anyone. Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's rough for me because Seth has more baptisms under his belt than I do. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age. That's Jesus telling us, go and do it. What does your ministry look like? All right, I'm going to call him out. I was going to call out Austin Winnett, but he's not here today. So I'm going to call it out. Galatians 5:14. Anybody? Anybody? Galatians 5:14. The entire law can be summed up in one statement. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's overread, and we kind of skim past it. Yeah, I know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, got it. No. I think if we took that seriously as the body of Christ, this world would look completely different than what it does right now. Your workplace would look completely different than what it does right now. My home would look completely different than it does right now. If we really took to heart, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Too often we want to make sure that I want to do what's best for my family. I want to do what's best for... I think it goes beyond that. My family is one of the most important things in this world to me. But it's not the most important thing in the world. My family is saved. They're going to go to heaven one day. They've called out to Christ. They've asked him for help, and they continue to do so every day. The ones that are out of the boat, that's more important. Gosh, that's hard to say. That's more important than my family right now. I don't feel that we have much time. I don't think that we have time to focus solely on my family. I think I need to be worried about the other families that don't understand the hope and the salvation that mine does. I don't think we have time to sit idly by. I'm not a scholar. I'm not smart. I don't know anything other than Jesus Christ crucified. But I can read prophecy. You can Google prophecy. If you don't know where to find it, Google will tell you. So Google prophecy, end times prophecy, and then watch the news. We don't have a lot of time. We had a great discussion yesterday in Bible study. We're in Daniel chapter 3. And I think it was Mark that brought up the fact that growing up, you know, you had the corner market, and this person had their resources, and I have my resources, and if I give you some of mine and you give me some of yours, we're all going to get taken care of. That sounds awesome. I'm young enough. I don't remember that. I'd never have seen that. My life, at 36 years old, I could sum my life up with a lot of chaos. I've never seen. Our family now is a broken home, comes from a broken home. My son, this is funny, we laughed about this yesterday, my son's dad doesn't want anything to do with him. But he still prays for him. Our family was not, I guess as some standards would be, perfectly put together, but it's together and it's pretty doggone awesome. We do a lot of cool stuff for God. But I also know that we're still here and there's still work to be done. Jim was joking with me before service and said, you're going to change everything anyway. I have no idea where I am in my notes, but... Okay. So, does our ministry look at all like Paul's? Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 12, says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm doing that right now. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you will be blameless and pure before God. You answer this question because I can't answer it for you. Are you exhausting yourself for the calling God has put in your life? Are you exhausting yourself? I don't think it would be in here if I didn't need to read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, warn those who are lazy. Apparently somebody's being lazy with their faith. Someone's being lazy with the salvation that they've been given. It's a gift. Apparently somebody's not putting it to work the way that they're supposed to. Probably me. We are to comfort the discouraged. We are to help the weak and be patient with everyone. That's what our ministry should look like. I hope that sometimes mine does, because I can honestly say that it doesn't all the time. There's always room for improvement. I thank God for that. 2 Timothy, another great example of Paul encouraging Timothy to fulfill his ministry. So our calling is to share the word of God, to share his love with everyone we can. Our ministry is wherever God places you to do that. This is Paul writing to Timothy in chapter 4. It says, "Before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly charge you, proclaim the message. Persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine." It sounds like today. "But according to their own desires, will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, keep a clear head about everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry." Got to get out of the boat. There's people dying all around us. If you're not one of the ones that are in the water today, you know somebody who is. Period. Everyone knows somebody who is. Get out of the boat and do something about it. Here's what the people in the boat do. "Hey, you ought to come to church on Sunday. Hey, his name's Jesus. He's waiting for you to ask him. Hey, you should probably, hey, come over here. I'll help you." The people in the boat are hollering out things. They're not helping anyone. "You should come to church Sunday." That's hard to say too, but Butch did it for over a year, every single week. "You ought to come to church. You ought to come to church. You ought to come to church. You ought to come to church. I heard that, and I heard that, and I heard that." Instead of hollering from the boat in your comfort, get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable. I told Aaliyah Hoover last week, the next time you hear a student at school use God's name in vain, praise his name. Tell them he wants to help if you would ask. Instead of cussing him all the time, maybe if you asked him, he would help you. Stand up and be bold. You have this faith. You have victory in Jesus Christ. Do something with it. Do something with it. Don't sit idly by. Don't hold on to it. It's not yours. Jesus Christ did not consider it something to be held on to just sit in heaven. No, he came here to help, to save that which was lost. He did not hold on to it for himself. Don't hold on to this salvation for yourself. It's not yours. It's his. Put it to work in your life. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself. While we're still here and kicking, that means God needs us for something. What's our calling? Share his love, his word, his son. If that's your calling and you understand that, get out of the doggone boat. Get out of the boat. Sacrifice and suffering are a blessing. James tells us, "Consider it great joy whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." The endurance that comes from Christ it's everlasting. My wife's a runner, more than I am. I try to keep up. Her endurance grows and it gets better and better the more practice she goes through, right? God's endurance in our lives, if we trust him, it's everlasting. You never get tired. You can't help but share what is good, and that's Jesus Christ. You can't help it. In the same way, James chapter 2, without works, your faith is dead. I told the students this morning downstairs, the demons know who Jesus is. Big deal. I know who Jesus is. Big deal. Is he your Lord and Savior? If he is, you ought to be working for him. Suffer for him. He suffered for you. Sacrifice for him. He sacrificed for you. That's the least we can do. It's the least we can do. Galatians chapter 6. some of my favorite verses. Usually when I question Austin on Galatians 5:14, he usually gets half of it, and then we got to talk about the other half, but then we go straight to Galatians 6 as well. It's some of my favorite verses. We must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. There's a key there. There's no giving up. Bush did not give up for over a year. She'd come to church with me. She'd come to church with me. No, 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 no. 9 years ago, giving a rambling, babbling testimony when it should have just been Jesus. That's it. Don't give up. Don't give up, because Bush didn't give up on me. Christ hasn't given up on any of us, okay? Don't give up. As we have the opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Put your personal differences aside. This is a very diverse group of people. Very diverse. Hopefully, the one thing that we have in common is Jesus. Hopefully. If you don't have that in common with me, you can have it today. You can have it today. So believers in the boat, we've got to get out. I go back to the 100%. Have I exhausted myself? Hebrews chapter 12. I keep saying this in some of my favorite verses again. Since we have such a large cloud of witnesses, we talked about them last week, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. That's what keeps us from being useful to God. The sin in our lives keeps us from being useful to God. The Bible says if you say you're without sin, you call God a liar. So one of two things is happening. Either you're lying or he is. You all can discuss that. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him, the joy that came with that sacrifice and that suffering, for the joy that lay before him, endured a cross and despised the shame. He has now sat down at the right hand of the Father. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. Are you giving 100% of what you can to the ministry God has called you to? For me, that's convicting. For you, I hope it is as well. I hope it is as well. The last scriptures I want to talk about is in 2 Peter. Another unbelievable example of a ministry, in part just trying to encourage those that are in the boat to get out. To get out. Starting in 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3, we'll go through maybe 15 or so. It says, "For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this reason," this is important. Pastor always says, when you ask him, well, how do I do it, Pastor? How do I do it? This is how we do it. Okay, this is what we do. We put this into play in our lives, and we watch God work his miracles for his glory. It has nothing to do with us. Nothing. This is how we do it. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith." That means add to your faith with these things. "Goodness. Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is our list. This is what we apply to our lives. And if we can do that, we will be useful to God. If you're in the boat, you understand what salvation looks like and feels like, you should want to be useful to God. It's not a time to take a break. It's not a time to sit back and be comfortable and just enjoy the ride into eternity. We're going to enjoy the ride. We'll get to heaven one day, but as for right now, the breeze is kind of nice, and it feels good, and I'm comfortable right here. That's not being useful to God. We all have a purpose. We need to find out what it is and go after it for His glory. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly supplied to you. We will reap at the proper time. Now is not the time to reap. This is not the time to reap. This is the time to work. This is a time to stand up for what we say we believe in so strongly. If it means something to you, let's work it out. Let's put it to work. Let's show somebody that it does look different. It does look different. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I consider it right, as long as I am here, as long as this guy is here, as long as I'm here in this tent, to wake you up with a reminder, knowing that I will soon lay aside this tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has also shown me. And I will make every effort that after my departure, after today, I'm not going to be here next week, so that's why I'm taking advantage of this. I'm not going to be here next week. After my departure, you may be able to recall these things at any time. We've got to put this to work in our lives if it means something. We have to. Time is short. We're reading in Revelation, 5th and 6th graders, and they're awesome. The questions that they have are fantastic. I like it because it makes me go find answers. I don't know. I don't know what they're asking. I have no idea what the answers to their questions are a lot of the time. But it's fantastic. It gets me in my Bible. It helps me to learn and grow as well. The time is short. That's what we learn in Revelation. But up until the very last minute, God gives opportunity after opportunity to those that are in the water. That's what we're doing right now. If you are not in the water and you've been in the boat, get in the water. Get in the water. If you've never experienced how great that boat is, today is the day of salvation. Today is that time. I told Mark, I don't remember life being real comfortable. I don't remember life being, you know, where everybody helped one another, where everybody, you know, looked out for their neighbor and all that. I don't remember that. I mean, I come from a great little hometown, you know, and if I was gone all day, nobody worried, you know, it wasn't like that. But I can also remember those were the same days that I learned how to read, you know, at midnight, 1 o'clock at my aunt's house, waiting for parents to come pick me up because they were still at the bar. I remember doing my homework in the corner booth at the bar. I can remember my mom going on vacation and coming back married to the man. He's a great man. I love him to death now, but I didn't know who he was then. My life has been chaotic from the beginning. I don't remember what it was like to have a nice, solid community of people that cared and took care of one another and nurtured one another. I don't even know what that looks like. So what I told you yesterday was I'm ready to throw down on this thing. I think if we get to work now, put boots on the ground and do this job that we've been called to do, I can't speed up the day or the hour of the Lord's return, but I know that I can work my tail off until He gets here and finish this race with endurance and just exhaust myself. That's what I want to do. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do. John chapter 17. I'm going to read this and then we'll close. John chapter 17, verse 4. Let me flip over. This is Jesus. Not Dirk. Not anyone, not pastor. This is Jesus talking. And He's talking to His Father. He's talking to His Daddy in heaven. I have glorified you, Daddy, on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Have you completed the work that He's given you to do? Chances are, no, because we're all still here. You're not sure what that work looks like? Come ask me. Pastors talked about being bold in an invitation. You're either in the boat, in the water, or you need to get out of the boat and go help somebody. That's your invitation. You do fall into one of those three categories. I don't know which one it is. That's between you and God. I'm going to invite Kevin to come up and play. I want to educate. I want to equip. I want to encourage. That's what I want to do. That's what I've been called to do. We try to do that every Sunday with the fifth and sixth graders, so I'm trying to do that now with you all. This is the invitation. For those who need to get in the boat, I'll help you. There'll be others in this up here praying. They can help you get in the boat. If you've been in the boat too long, I'm not going to throw you over, but I can show you. I can walk with you. I can jump out of the boat with you. I'm okay with that. It gets dangerous. It gets scary. Last time I almost lost an arm. There's sharks and stuff. I mean, it gets scary in the water. I get it. But I'll jump in with you. There's other men in this church. There's other women in this church that will jump in with you. You don't have to walk by yourself. You don't have to serve by yourself. Jesus says he'll be with us till the end of time. But he puts people in positions to help. Allow me to help. Allow others to help. Allow him to help, okay? And if you're in that boat, and you've been willing to jump out before, but last time it hurt real bad, I want to encourage you to get out again. There's very few that are willing to jump out of the boat. That's what I've found. Are we willing to sacrifice at all? Do we have any grit in us at all? If you've got some grit and you want to jump out of the boat again, I'll jump with you if you're ready. But as Kevin plays, you come if you want to. Would you stand? That's what Pastor always does. Would you stand with me? I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I just wanted to take the time to hopefully light a fire under somebody. That's what I'm hoping. So, Father God, I come to you. I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. You've allowed us to be a part of your day, and I pray, God, that you would help us to make the most of it. Lord God, in this place, there are people that are hurting. There are people that are searching. There are people that just need a nudge, Lord, and maybe just need a little bit of encouragement to get out of the boat. It's my prayer, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Speak to your people's hearts, Lord. Draw your people closer and help us move in the direction you need us to move. I pray, God, that you would forgive us of our sins. That you would lift us up, Lord, so that we might glorify you with our lives. Equip us, strengthen us, Lord, like only you can. And move your people. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus.